Is Ravage Love After Hours. Julie?
Renee?
It's Ravage Love After Hours.
Sexy times.
It's our bonus episode.
So exciting. Why are we doing a bonus episode, Renee?
Well, Julie, I'll tell you. We are doing a bonus episode this week because we found very, very topical COVID-19 erotica this week. But because it's so fresh and because it's so new, there's not a lot to work with. There's not a lot of content. So we have decided to condense our review into a bonus episode.
First of all, when you told me, Julie, did you know there is COVID-19 romance and erotica? I was like, why am I surprised? The internet always delivers. But here we are. We found, there's at least two books. You said you found at least two others.
I found seven.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I found seven.
Now, folks need to remember, we are recording this the first week of June. COVID-19 only hit North America mid-March, so we're talking about books that were cranked out in a short period of time.
By true heroes.
Absolutely, by people who are like, oh, I lost my job? I know what I'll do with my time. I'll fulfill my lifelong passion to put pen to paper and tell smut stories about a virus. So they are rich. Short but rich. Knowing these people had so little time to write a book, how long was your book, Renee?
My book was a whopping 36 pages. How long was your book, Julie?
Mine was actually 108.
So, oh, wow.
You know, much more than yours. What's funny, though, is mine was only 99 cents. How much was yours?
Mine was $6.99, and I had to get a Kindle app to use it.
Damn. No, I hit up the
I had to read it on my phone like a peasant.
Thankfully, it was only 30 pages. Mine was through Kobo. It was 108 pages. And, do we want to just launch right into it?
Let's just do it, girl.
Because she messy. So the name of my book, oh my God, I can't even tell you. The name of my book is Vegas in the Time of Coronavirus.
Oh my God.
As I said, it's 108 pages. It was written by someone named C. Sarah, C-E-E, Sarah, S-E-R-R-A. I think it's a play on words of like K. Sarah, Sarah. I don't know. I do know that it's clearly an alias because the only biographical information is C. Sarah has worked in the Las Vegas entertainment industry for 20 years. Were they a poker player? Were they a poker table card dealer? Were they a sex worker? I do not know.
Oh my God. It's Molly's game. That's what this is.
100%. Although I do not know the gender of this person. I know that the gender of the narrator in the book, who is never named, is a man. So I don't know if it's a woman who wrote it from the perspective of a man who wrote it, je ne sais pas. I also Googled the author's name. Literally nothing comes up. Google just says, like, did you mean K. Sarah? Like, literally. I Googled the name of the book, and all it tells me is, like, all about the casinos that shut down in Vegas because of coronavirus. Like, this person is a ghost, a mist in the wind, who wrote this 108-page book that is part of a trilogy. So mine ends on a bit of a cliffhanger. They gave me a preview of chapter one of the second book. Not interested. So I did go into it thinking, one, we're going to post, if you follow us on Instagram, which you should, you will see on there the cover of this book. I'm very confused as to what I'm seeing. It's a person like making out with someone who's wearing a mask. And I don't know if there's a tape ruler in the background. It's a weird mise-en-scène situation. So I wasn't sure if it was cheeky or not. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, is this person being ironic with this book, or are they like earnestly trying to sell me some smut? And I really don't know, because in the intro, where it does all the usual copyright stuff, like this is a work of fiction, blah, 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 it says at the end, no face masks were harmed in the creation of this book. And I'm like, that's funny. So then like, oh, it's cheeky. This person knows it's ironic. But then I'm like, I think they're being earnest, and I'm very confused. So the first thing I will say is you could tell this person wrote this in a rush, because there is a fuck ton of spelling mistakes, tons of typos. There's like, oh my God, like it's an editor's nightmare. So that's a thing. Also, the term, the word intuit, like I-N-T-U-I-T. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that properly because I'm French. Is it like intuit? Intuit? I don't even know. But that word was used so many goddamn times in the book that I was like, foreign a thesaurus. Like I was like, okay.
Does it mean intuition?
Like, yeah. The idea that they like sensed that they needed to do this, and like could sense that this was about to happen, but it was literally like a dozen times this word was used, and I'm like, one was too many. But the premise is some unnamed man is married, has to this what is the common theme here, an ambitious woman. This comes up a lot, so you know she's gonna suffer an evil fate, because that's how romance novels like to treat women that are hungry for power.
Right.
So he's married to like a real tiny ass VP of a tech company or something, and he has a daughter, and he works as like a garbage man, but like on the side, and they kind of they kind of just make it seem subtly that like he's not supposed to, like it's illegal to be doing that, or like I don't really know. And he's working as a garbage man, but he has. And one, he's weirdly obsessed with the stock market. I cannot tell you the amount of paragraphs of dialogue in this book about playing the stock market, and we need to figure out the stocks that are going to succeed, and like, oh, we need to invest in hand sanitizer companies, and we need to divest from Victoria's Secret. Like, it's paragraphs and paragraphs of this dude's hobby of playing stocks. Anyways, he has a kink. That is that he meets up with women anonymously, and they're called mask girls, and you fuck a rando while wearing masks, and your payment for fucking those randos is you have to pay them in toilet paper and hand sanitizer. Oh my word! Whew. And so when they're negotiating, it's like how many rolls of TP versus how many hand sanitizers, and then the good shit is the aloe hand sanitizer, because it's a nation of people with chapped hands because they're putting too much fucking Purell.
That's my fucking truth though.
Right, and part of me was like, this is stupid, also this is so on point it hurts. So there's like graphic description of these people fucking each other, him fucking these rando mask girls, and it's like, it's just, meanwhile he's like married, but he's like, I'm a tight ass wife, never wants to fuck me. Then while he's like playing at some poker game or something with his old buddies, they're talking about stocks, he runs into an old flame, and he's like, oh, I tortured her and it was so hot to me, and like we played this game of like sub and dom, but then when they actually fuck, there's like no kink elements to it at all. It's just like I edged her for an hour, and I'm like, so you did foreplay, okay, cool. Like, it's what a weird kink, dude who fucks randos with masks. Anyways, he runs into his old flame, he's like, I can't be with you, this is too much, we're addicted to each other. But then he tries to fuck with her, but then ends up falling in love with her, because that's what's up. So then he's just like wanting to hurt his ambitious wife, so he basically makes it super obvious that he's cheating. And then she's like, shit, dude, I've been cheating on you this whole time, you suck. And then you're like, oh god, this took a turn. And then it basically turns into, I'm going to dump my side chick and I'm just going to commit myself to being with my wife because I want to be a good person. The end. Now, the interesting Corona sidebars is there's one, sex workers exchange sex for toilet paper and hand sanitizer. At one point, he runs into a nurse who said that, like, tons of civilians have asked her to steal samples of the coronavirus so that they can kill their elderly parents that they're tired of taking care of.
Whoa, that's dark.
Dark. Dark. And then, yeah, they talk about, like, you know, how they stop watching the news because it's just so depressing every day. I'm like, can relate. Watching, like, socially distanced funerals where there's, like, a body in the middle of a field and everyone's standing 2 meters apart just staring at it. Like, there were some dark moments. But overall, it was bad. And I still can't figure out if it was ironically bad or it was just straight up bad. Now, as we usually do, I will tell you some genital descriptions. A lot of moist caves, Renee. Moist caves. He also referred to his fingers as, like, snakes that were, like, trying to make their way into the cave. Yeah, she was gross. And then at one point, he was talking about one of the women that he was fucking, one of the mask girls that happened to be vegan. And so then he was like, her pussy tasted good, and I love good coconut tasting pussy. And I'm like, as a vegan, I am offended. And the only other thing I will say is that there's this whole thing where the first time he fucked this woman that he was in love with that he ran into again, the first time they had sex that was, like, so mind-blowing and they could never get over each other, they were watching Castaway, the Tom Hanks movie. And the amount of times they referenced that night when we were watching Castaway, that night when we were Castaway, remember Castaway? Like, it's such a weird, like, get off Tom Hanks's dick. Like, it just, I can't. So in terms of my spice factor, it was hard for me to judge because there was a lot of sex. It was very graphic sex, but it just wasn't hot because it was so poorly written and I just couldn't care about these people. And also I'm like, he's a loser. So I'm giving it 2. I'm going to give it 2 ghost peppers out of 5, because if all you want to read is descriptions of people having graphic sex, this is the book for you. If you care that it's well written, not for you. So that's 2 ghost peppers for me on the spice factor of Las Vegas in the time of Corona by C. Surah.
Wow.
So yeah, that was my
dream.
Does
vegan pussy taste like coconut?
No. I mean, it does taste good. I have been told. And it is, in fact, I think there's actual research to show that, like, your diet can change your makeup or some shit. I'm not really sure. But I've never had anyone complain. But I've also never had anyone call it coconut tasting. So,
Julie,
don't know.
I've gained like 30 pounds this year strictly from eating chicken fingers. And so now I'm like, oh boy, that's...
Maybe you taste like plum sauce. I mean, that's my chicken finger condiment of choice.
I've also eaten a tremendous amount of bologna sandwiches. So,
I don't know.
You know, that's probably why there's like a lineup around my door. Boys want that milkshake.
They sure do. Make sure you wear a mask and have some TP handy. Ayo.
Right, that's the currency I accept. Wow.
So yeah. It was real bad. Tell me about yours. Dying here.
So mine was called COVID-69, and
I'm sorry. Just say that again, please.
That's COVID-69.
Okay. Noted.
By an author called Jay Andrews. No record of this person, no prior works. They're a ghost, nothing. That's the most I could find. My book, like I said, is 36 pages. So I didn't touch it until today when I was like, oh shit, it's Thursday. So I sat down this afternoon to read it on my phone like a peasant. And, Let me give you a little breakdown about my book. So my protagonist's name is Rosa, and she's a Latina from Iowa who is living in LA, Hollywood, in order to go to university. And she's really, really upset because COVID ruined her spring break plans. And her mother convinced her to get a studio apartment instead of sleeping in the dorms, because then, you know, the boys in the dorms would have pressured her for sexy stuff. So she spends the first part of the book, pamphlet, whatever you want to call it, just pouting that she's now in lockdown and she has nobody to spend it with. And she's horny. This girl is nothing but horny. And it's really bothering her. And so we meet Riley, who's described as the punk rock neighbor who she's had to file noise complaints with their super with over the following punk rock music: The Clash, The Ramones, and Green Day. Very, very astutely punk music. Now, Rosa is also a music major, which is really how she locks down this neighbor, is by demonstrating her music knowledge. But I digress. So Riley, her neighbor, starts hollering at her from the street when she's finally resigned herself to, like, her loneliness during the pandemic. I want to be clear. This is the first day of pandemic. This is the first day of lockdown, and she, like, cannot handle it.
Wait, do so they Riley, literally say, like, it's day one?
Day one. Well, it doesn't say day one, but it's like she just got the news that everything's now locked down. Jeez. So, yeah. So her friend Kelly calls and is like, how you doing, girl? And she's like, I just wish I had a boyfriend. And she's like, me too, girl. And then it's like, that's it. So then Riley's like, hey, girl, your toilet water is dripping into my house. Can you fix it? And she's like, oh, my God, I'm just a student and I don't have tools to fix things. And so Riley's like, well, if you're okay, like, I'll come fix it. And she's like, oh, my God, this is my chance. So she's, like, obsessed with this guy who, in my head, he looked like Dee Dee Ramone.
Okay.
Yeah, with, like, the bangs and, like, the blunt bowl cut. but he's described as having, like, a Green Day haircut. I don't know what that means. Does it mean, like, what era of Green Day? I don't know. But he's jacked. I do know that. And he wears a jean jacket, like a real punk boy.
Yeah.
So he comes in with, like, a mask and everything, and he fixes her toilet. And then she's like, wait, why don't you come in for a glass of wine? And he's like, yeah, okay, I could do that. And so they have a glass of wine together, and then she wows him with her punk rock prowess. And then they basically start hooking up, but then we learn, Julie, of course, she's a virgin and she's not ready to go all the way. Also, she's really scared about COVID. And then he's like, girl, like, we've already touched each other. Like, it's over for us. It's over. and so she goes to bed, and then he starts playing Rock the Casbah by The Clash because she says that's her favorite punk song, which is bullshit. But so he plays it to, like, get her attention at 3 a.m. She's like, what are you even doing? Because she can text him now. And he's like, are you still awake? And she's like, I guess. So he comes up and they bang. They do, in fact, 69. They sure do. After he goes down on her, because she tells him she's a virgin. And so, you know, he goes down on her and blows her mind. And then he's like, hey, have you ever heard of, like, 69ing? And she's like, oh, my God, isn't that, like, when we, like, buckle down on each other? He's like, yeah, that would make me, like, crazy hard. And she's like, okay. And so they 69 briefly, like, for seconds. Then they go to Pound Town. And then they realize that, like, damned if you do, damned if you don't, they may or may not have COVID. And that's the end of the book.
Oh, fuck. Renee.
Yeah.
What a journey in 30 pages. Like, you went places.
Yeah, I did.
Is there a sequel? Is there a follow-up? I have so many questions. Do we know what happens to them next? Or is it just a one-off book?
No, that's the end of it. And
now we're just left to wonder, are they going to die of Rona?
We don't know. The end says, who knew if we'd catch this deadly virus? And who knew how long we'd be stuck quarantined like this? But there was one thing that was absolutely sure. I was suddenly real glad I wasn't in the dorms and that I had my own apartment after all. Thanks, Mom. Yeah. That's how it ends. There's no cliffhanger.
Wow. Okay, so then with the spice factor, where are you at?
I'm going to say 1 out of 5 COVID testing swabs up the nasal cavity, because that's a real spicy Q-tip, I think.
Absolutely. That's a
real spicy Q-tip, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were there genital descriptions that were noteworthy?
No, it was all just like dick and balls, pussy. She did describe his physique as like a granite Adonis a few times, and I'm like, girl, like, he's a fucking stoner. Like,
we've all dated Green Day is punk. Like, let's take a breath.
Yeah, we've all dated the Dee Dee Ramones. Like, they're not jacked. They're not working out. Especially not like college age dude. Like, please.
Yeah.
If he doesn't have a pot belly, like, I don't know. They say that he looks like a Chippendales dancer with his Green Day haircut, and I'm like, no.
Literally, whoever wrote this has clearly never fucked a skater boy, because I have, and it is skin and bones, generally. Which, like, you know I love a skinny man, Renee. You know I love it the most. But yeah, no one's ever fucked an Adonis-looking dude who's, like, a pop punk poser. Just high during coronavirus? Like, no. Also, she may have been
feverish. Like, let's be real.
I think she had the Rona, and that's why she was seeing visions, frankly. But I will say, we can't just wrap up this discussion without talking about how awful 69 is.
Right. Yeah, there's no way to do it comfortably. Like, I'm all about smothering a man to death in my pussy. Like, I'm here for it. Yeah, but if I have to stick his gross penis in my mouth, like, I don't want to go that way.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, if you want to smother a dude, like, you want to sit on his face, like, I'm here for it. But I'm just like, are we in a rush? Like, we just gotta bang this out before we gotta go somewhere? Like, I don't understand the logic. Like, I'm too busy concentrating. I don't know what's happening. It's so fascinating to me, because I feel like this book strikes me as something that someone, like, that an actual virgin wrote this book, or someone who's, like, never actually had sex, because truly 69 is this thing that when you're, like, a teenager, I feel like people are just like, ooh, it, like, sounds like, you know, it's a number, and it's kind of like, people always make jokes about it, and it just sounds so hot. I mean, I guess it kind of sounds hot in principle, but 100% of the people I know, myself included, you do it, and then you're like, nah, I'm good. Like, it's not great. It's a weird angle. Also, like, if the dude is on top, or, like, it's just like a, ugh, it's not good. It's not good. It's, like, literally the least sexy sexual act, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I would give hand-holding in the park more spice than choking on D while you're trying not to kill a man, / maybe kind of kill a man. And, like, not a fan.
And, like, 69 doesn't take into account, like, bodily proportions either. Like, you know me, and you know I'm all torso. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. What if I'm with, like, a tall person? It just doesn't work.
It just doesn't work. The angles are off. The whole vibe is weird. The mounting and the dismounting is not hot. It's not good. It's just awful. And so anytime anyone talks about 69, I'm like, that person has yet to have their sexual debut, clearly. Because it is overhyped.
Yeah.
It's like the supreme streetwear of sex acts. You think it's going to be so sick and so dope, and then you're like, nah, just choked on pubes while I tried to come but couldn't concentrate. Good times.
Yeah, the good news is that they didn't do it very long, and so I think Rosa was like, I'm over it. Because she decides to do it because she's never done it. And she's like, well, I might as well try it. And, you know, good for her. Good for her, you know, trying it out. They don't do it very long. And then she's like, let's just, like, fuck. Let's just do that. And he's like, okay. So, you know, she tried it. I want to believe it wasn't for her. And they just moved on with their lives.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Would you like me to share an excerpt of my book?
Oh, my God. I'm dying to hear an excerpt.
Now, they're from Vegas, so I don't have to offend all of you with my terrible accent, because it's a North American accent. So in this particular scene, he is at, again, our unnamed protagonist, is at a underground, it's at a casino, but casinos are not technically open, so it's kind of an underground poker game, and there's, like, you know, all these people that he knows, and he's just kind of, like, mingling, having drinks, whatever. I was happy to see the waitresses serving real drinks, not some kind of cranberry juice or ginger ale like at the all-nude strip clubs. We all ordered Coronas, and no one made a joke. We'd all seen the memes of grocery and liquor stores emptied of all kinds of beer except the white and blue boxes of Corona. If I worked at Corona, Chester said to me, I'd market the hell out of this. I'd print ads that say, fight Corona with Corona, or something like that. You can't do it these days. What's that word they use? I thought it was over for a moment. Slam! Yeah, people will slam them online. The minute you upset one person, it all goes viral. Your business is done overnight because a housewife in Queens got her feelings hurt. Why Queens? I shrugged. Because I hate the Yankees. Anytime I see something negative, I default to New Yorkers. With West Coast people, it was like talking a foreign language anytime you mentioned the warring neighborhoods. Italian, Irish, and Jewish, and the fierce sports rivalries between Boston, New York, Philly, and even Baltimore. Out west, everyone got along, which is why the majority of them were flaky as hell. It's sad, said Chester as he took a long swig of Corona. I really do believe Corona kills Corona, though. Famous last words of a man on his deathbed, overtaken by the virus. Cheers to that, he said. Okay, I'm not done. Okay. This dude's abusive as hell, okay, and, like, loves to play mind games, and you'll just see this for yourself. Cheers to that, he said. I clinked my bottle to his and dared to glance over my shoulder. Chelsea looked stunning. That's what hit me so hard. I remember her being much more homely, much humbler those years ago, when she'd been that most loathsome of the three female stereotypes. Now, she was beautiful. Hair pulled back behind her ears, wide smile. She arched her shoulders back and held her chest out comfortably, even though she seemed disappointed her tits were the smallest in the crew. At once, a myriad of memories flooded my circuitry. Blah. My hands moved chips. My eyes spied cards. I laughed at Chester's jokes, then retaliated with a few of my own. It was all autopilot, though. Some true part of me, recently resurrected, wandered around the depths of my skull's interior, contemplating. Recovering old memories, old tastes. Though it had been a decade ago, I recalled the scent and taste from between her legs, how her nipples and breasts tasted when I sucked them into my warm mouth, all the explicit things I got her to do, the times I made her cry, the time I'd made her watch me make love to her best friend, the time I'd filmed us making love and posted it online despite her protests.
No.
Then, after busting her via her internet history, I shamed her for watching it compulsively and forwarding it to one of her girlfriends. Anything bad I could imagine, I enacted. She cried, she complained, then she told me she loved me, so I did it some more. From the very start, I'd hated her. That's why it worked. But from those memories, I recovered this one particular day I'd never quite put to rest. At its start, it was mundane in every way. Just the two of us lying on the couch watching Castaway. Tom Hanks in Castaway. Like Céline Dion, it was all coming back to me. Okay, last paragraph. My attention had been on Tom Hanks and his antics with a volleyball while he was marooned on an island. Then Chelsea had said what she said. And then we did what we did. Why that excited me so much at that moment, I couldn't say. Maybe it had to do with the pervasive horniness everyone felt due to the coronavirus. Or maybe she just looked that good. Yo!
Julie, it doesn't say that Cillian line, does it?
100%, page 41 of Vegas in the Time of Coronavirus, it literally says, like Céline Dion, it was all coming back to me.
Now, you know,
as two French Canadian women, we are hyped whenever a sit-in bomb is dropped.
Well, 100.
But time and place.
And not by assholes. Sit-in wouldn't stand for it.
Exactly. Sit-in is like, I'm sorry, did you just talk about how you get off on torturing women? Do not drag my name into this. Get your name, her name, out of your mouth, sir.
You know what, though? Selena is mingling with dark forces right now through her fashion line, and she could just hex this piece of shit. So,
oh my god, well done. Well done. I mean, again, I was excited for a Céline Dion reference. Love to have that just pop up on a Thursday afternoon. But hot garbage and offensive, and he was trash and violated consent and made revenge porn, but then was like, oh no, she thought it was hot. So then it was too much. It was awful. But at least I got to spare offending all of you with an accent. So here we go.
How, on a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. where do we land on hoping he gets COVID?
Oh, I mean, 10 out of 10. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
On the same page.
Yeah. I just like really hope that he knows it right away and doesn't infect his ambitious and awesome wife and child. No. That's it. Like, I just hope he knows that enough. And then it's just like, meh.
Here's what I hope. I hope he dies. She gets a huge inheritance because he's obviously like a public servant. And then she and his homely gal hook up, fall in love, and live happily ever after.
I mean, I
immune
absolutely
from COVID forever.
That's a perfect ending. There you go. We'll just make it queer. It's Pride Month. We're allowed. I think that's like the law. I think you're allowed to like make things homo if it's Pride Month. And so, yeah, as a queer woman, I'm going to really, just like envision that Chelsea and his wife, Marissa, run away together while he dies of the Rona because he's trash. Oh, and he's literally a trash man. So the joke right So that's it. That was our little adventure falling down the rabbit hole that is COVID-based erotica. Fucking sign of the times, bud.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, are you ready for mine?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Bud. Hit me up.
Now, both these people are in LA, so even though she's from Iowa, I've decided to present her as a woman who has adapted the Valley Girl accent. And it's from her perspective. So I'm just gonna give it with my best Valley Girl, but not like Laval, like Valley, like LA Valley, like Clueless. Okay. He moaned his impatience as he licked and licked my breath, stopped completely. The sound in the room became a high-pitched whine. My eyes clenched until my vision went starry. And at last I climaxed like an atom bomb, shaking the bed so hard that it banged into the side table, tipping over my lamp. I held his mouth to my clit as aftershock after aftershock rocked through me until my heart finally started to level out and my breath returned to some semblance of normal. I realized his head and he wiped his chin with the back of his hand as he sidled up to kiss my cheek. That was even better than I've been imagining for the last 8 months, he whispered into my ear. I burst out giggling uncontrollably, squeezing his body to mine, my legs wrapped around the backs of his. I bit my lip and stared at him right in the eyes. You've been thinking about that for 8 months? God, yes, he chuckled. And you're even more delicious than I fantasized. He kissed me, then again started right down into my soul. Do you want to keep going? My heart kicked back into overdrive like a jet engine, and my pussy throbbed with desire. My mind raced with what ifs, and I think he could see my internal conflict I was having because he stroked my cheek and kissed me again, saying, it's okay, we don't have to, only if you're ready. I took a steadying breath, caressed his immaculate shoulders, looked back into his gorgeous face, nodded and said, I'm ready. The smile that spread across his face was the third, fourth, fifth, who knows, I've lost count, thing that I'd never forget. He really has been fantasizing about me since I moved in. Holy shit, this is really happening. Before we do, he whispered, there's one other thing I want to start with. Okay, I said, whatever it is, I'm pretty sure I'm going to like it. Do you know how to like 69? He asked, almost hesitantly. That's where you go down on me, I started. Well, you go down on me at the same time, yeah, he finished. I know some people aren't really into it, so it's okay if you don't want to, but it will get me so fucking hard, you have no idea. I glanced down between our legs and caught a glimpse of his spectacular cock again. If there's something that's going to get him even harder than that, I'm 100% down. Let's do it, I said. Scene.
Whew. Now, my first comment, nailing the accents. Week after week, you're just bringing the heat to the accents, Renee, and I just want to take a moment to recognize that. Secondly, if you've never had sex before, would you call it a spectacular cock? I mean, unless you've consumed a fuck ton of porn, you don't really know what dick looks like. So it seems like a bit of a wild, wild guess.
Yeah, so she was comparing it to Mandingo.
Oh!
Yeah, I'm sure you're familiar, but she does explain that she has watched some of the cock on the internet, and she is referring to Mandingo in it, or Mandingo-esque monster cock. So this in comparison is more manageable, I think, for her.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Okay, I'll allow it. Wow.
Mm.
I don't even know. I feel like I'm speechless after this. It's like such a weird moment in time. But I also want to say, again, well, actually, in your case, do you think it was ironic? Or do you think this person was earnestly making smut about COVID?
You know what?
I mean, that is the ultimate question this week.
I respect the hustle. Mm-hmm. And I want to believe that they were like, you know what would be funny? COVID-69. And I am one of the assholes that paid $6.99 for this book. So there, and it was, I learned about these books in like a Guardian article. So obviously people are buying it. This Jay Andrews is cleaning up. You know, they're not charging 99 cents for their book. They're cleaning up. So as far as I'm concerned, ironic or not, they're doing the Lord's work.
That's an excellent point. I mean, at the end of the day, we are promoting them. We spent money. And honestly, like, what else are people doing right now? Like, there's something, I guess, to be said for, like, I chose a creative pursuit. I would say maybe don't write erotica that, you know, glamorizes abusive men, for example. Maybe stop making fucking Citizen Zio and Tom Hanks references. But nonetheless, you're right. A hustle is a hustle, and as two millennials, we respect the grind.
Yeah, some people are out there making their own yeast. Others are out there getting yeast infections. What can I say?
It takes all kinds.
The hustle is real, and I respect the hustle. As long as no one gets hurt, we good.
That's true. Well, thank you for stumbling upon this niche, dark part of the internet and bringing me with you. I appreciated we held hands and took this strange walk together. And we just couldn't wait a whole week to give it to you folks as a regular episode. We had to give you a special pod because we love you so much.
Yeah, and like, what if COVID's over next week? Yeah. Like, it wouldn't be relevant anymore.
This is passé.
Yeah, they'd be like, it's over now.
We did historical fiction twice in a row.
Yeah, exactly.
great chat with you, Renee.
Yeah, this was so much fun. I'm glad we got to do this little extra chitty chat this week. Do you want to sing us out, Julie?
Always and forever. Ravage love. Ravage love. Woo!
Artwork for the podcast was created by Karen McKnight. Special thanks to Press Start to Join for production assistance. For gaming and tech news, search Press Start to Join, or on social media at PS2JShow. Connect with us online at Ravage Love on Instagram and by email at ravagelove.podcast@gmail.com.